He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
Welcome to Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Barry Kite and Paul Carlson sitting in for Bill today. Paul, how's everything going over there?
Oh, it's great. Thank you. And welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And we've got a lot to talk about today, a lot of records being broken. So I'm excited to be here and talking with you, Barry.
Yes, fantastic. Yeah, I'm glad to be here as well. I know Bill is getting a well-deserved day off. I know we haven't done the show the last couple of Fridays. So getting in here, we've got a lot of economic news today. Looks like that's kind of the big piece of the headlines. Obviously, we've got NASDAQ. Markets continually hitting record highs. continually, right? So
seems to be.
Yeah. So we have a lot of important economic data points. It's going to be detailing a lot of these numbers are going to be detailing the U.S. recovery. So we'll take a peek out of that as we all try to get out from under the extreme pieces of COVID from an economic standpoint.
Right.
Of course, that data is, like I said, coming on the heels of the NASDAQ high. We also have some news we'll tease and get to in a minute that actually hadn't occurred in 30 years from an economic standpoint. We feel like we keep hitting some of those different numbers and things we've never hit before, and so this is a unique one. And looks like some enthralling talk has came about on the algorithms, or the center of the most important piece algorithm of the TikTok deal. So we've got we've got some old economic stuff, and we've got some new some new algorithms we'll talk about today. But Paul, recap of maybe today's world markets, kind of what we're
sure.
looking at today.
Yeah, let's do that. Over in London, the FTSE is up 1.5%. That's up 89 points to 59.51. The Japanese Nikkei 225 up 0.5%, or 110 points to 23.247. Hong Kong down about 0.25%, China up 0.5%, and India up 0.5%. Our all-important 10-year here in the U.S. is up 8 basis points to 0.68%. We have the S&P futures up 20 points, or 0.5%, or 0.5%, up to 3,547. The Dow's up 0.5%, Dow futures, that is, in the pre-market, up 135 at 28,757. We have the NASDAQ futures, like you said, making new highs and new records.
Right.
Yeah. 12,436, up 124 points, or 1%.
Wow.
Small cap index, Russell 2000, just up 0.33%, or 5 points at 1583. We got crude oil not moving too much. Just up 20 cents, and that's at about $43 a barrel. Gold is sitting back a little bit, down $6, or a third of 1%, and that's $19.72 per ounce. And then silver down 2.25%, or 65 cents, down to an even $28 an ounce.
Okay.
On the euro, U.S. dollar, kind of an interesting, another historic note here is that it crossed 120 for the first time overnight in 2 years, but now it's come back a little bit. Now we're at 118.5.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
No, the European markets, just looking here now, they're up almost 2%. Looks like London's up percent and a half. But they're having they look to be having a good start to the day as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of global at this point.
Yeah. Well, thank you for bringing us up to speed, Paul.
Sure.
As Bill kind of continues to hit home, we've already joked about it this morning a bit, but NASDAQ obviously hit new highs again yesterday. A lot of that driven, by the usual suspects, Apple, NVIDIA, continue to
drive
that.
A lot of our holdings.
Yeah. NVIDIA's looking, NVIDIA's having another, strong day today as well. In terms of, just kind of where we ended, obviously technology, big winner again. Apple was climbing after the splits kind of taken
on the life of its own.
So we've got, big gains there, outperforming, the other two indices again. I think, it's closed basically higher in 8 of the last 10 sessions the NASDAQ has. So pretty meteoric rise if you look at the charts, especially from in terms of a short term where we've gotten.
Yes.
Just in a few days' time, right? In terms of movement, but it looks like copper kind of bounced off of a hit a two-year high. Of course, copper being the old we use them and Caterpillar as kind of the overall judge of the economy. That was your your old measure. So copper, is at a two-year high. It's kind of reversed a little bit, but it gives you an idea of, the thought or the sentiment in terms of I think of economic activity picking up or recovering from where we were. So, I think that's going to be that's a theme kind of today, right? There's a lots of economic data out. We have the ISM and PMI manufacturing numbers. The August ADP jobs report. I think it's, when we're looking at these, as we mentioned, it's important to remember that, mostly about direction, magnitude, percentage wise, things are crazy right now when you've gone from, 30% drop.
That's a low base.
You're going from a high base when you're going down, and then now going on the positive side, right? We're going back from a lower base. So, I think direction obviously is the important thing, and analyst expectations, I think those will get they're going to hone in and get more and more accurate, I think, over time. But right now, I don't pay much attention honestly to some of the expectations as well. But in terms of the numbers, ISM came in hot. It was rising. It's at 56. Consensus was 54.5, and prior, I think it was 54.2. So it's a pretty significant jump in that particular, index. New orders rose, 67.6. Anything over 50,
right.
51 is expansion. So we're moving along in that order. Like I said, new orders were up, at 67.6 versus 61.5 in July. So that's, showing you that things are ramping back up.
And backlogs too.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Backlogs are still rising. They're up 54.6 versus 51.8 last go round. So, one of the key pieces in here, and this is going to tie to the gold, and that's what I was actually interested in, where you were going to be with those numbers. But, prices jumped, from 59.5 from 53.
So that's
a big, it's a pretty decent jump in terms of this particular, survey. So, I think that demand, some of those prices and how those get passed on to the,
end
user.
Right.
Exactly. And sometimes they don't. I mean, frankly, sometimes they don't, and that's going to, takes a hit at the manufacturing or earnings level. So, that's going to, to me, that's going to make a big difference. Also, PMI, had the fastest, record fastest expansion. Obviously that's because it's on a percentage. And like we said, coming from a low base, I think it was at 50.9 prior, came in at 53.1, a little bit lower than consensus. But like I said, I think, going in a strong direction, it is very important, I think, from that perspective. One thing is, the inflation expectations, they've hit a 1-year high. So that's, you know,
kind of the Fed's goal now, isn't it? To have those expectations rise.
Well, right, yeah. I mean, that's it, you know, yeah, and it's even better if you can get the expectations to rise without actually, you know, doing anything, right?
Exactly.
If you can use rhetoric, it's a lot cheaper than actually creating
monetary policy. Right.
Right. So that's, you know, certainly inflation's, I mean, I don't know, I feel like we've had that talk since at least, you know, 08, 09. Hasn't really ever taken hold except for, you know, the stuff we actually use, like, you know, food, housing, and energy. But we'll, you know, first segment's flying by. We'll get back, get into some individual stock news, here in the second segment. Welcome back to the Wednesday morning edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with Barry Kite and Paul Carlson, sitting in for our captain Bill Gunderson this morning on September 2nd. Paul, are you with us?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. How's everything looking? Looking on there? Any big changes come in?
I was looking at the ADP jobs report. A little disappointing. I think that it speaks to maybe how things might change structurally, at least for some period of time, even coming out of the virus. But we'll see.
Yeah.
What do you think about it?
No, I think that, you know, in terms of, you know, the survey itself, right, it's, you know, where we thought in terms of expectations, right, certainly looks soft. I think, you know, kind of looking, diving a little bit deeper, and I know they revised what, you know, 160, was it, looks like 167 additional, revised from mm-hmm. the last report. But yeah, I mean, 428 versus, 900. You know, your large employers, looks like they added about 290, this is kind of the breakdown, 298,000 jobs. You know, mid-sized business were about 79,000, small were 52. So, you know, I've seen, you know, at least around town and you know, heard in terms of, you know, you're seeing a lot of help wanted signs, you know, different places, right? It's just, I think, you know, frankly, I think, you know, a lot of those employees aren't coming back either because, you know, school is starting to kick in, right? And a lot of these, a lot of folks are going to be, you know, kids are at least starting out online, so that's gonna, you know, also keeps working mothers, working families from, you know, from getting back in the workforce even if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's you know, that's a piece. I know you know, from a service jobs, you know, which is our biggest, you know, we focus on manufacturing with the first two reports today, but service economy obviously is our biggest piece of the U.S. economy.
And especially here in the Charleston area.
Yeah, exactly. And so it looks like we added about, you know, 389 jobs from a service producing jobs is the way they break that down. Goods producing was up 40,000. So yeah, and I think, you know, in some of those manufacturing jobs, you know, you had more furloughs, you know, not actual employees separating from the company, which is a little bit different. So when you kind of pull in some of these statistics, you know, is it a new job if they, you know, are actually just back working from furlough? You mm-hmm. know, how does some of that work through from a data standpoint? But, you know, overall, you know, good news is direction, we're expanding, we're adding jobs. So, you know,
that's right.
I look at it from that perspective too. So, in terms of, you know, so we've got some stories in terms of what are we doing from a policy standpoint to help, you know, we've got the recovery, it looks like, you know, in terms of directionally, right, in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are we looking to, you know, kind of add and keep this going, right? And so, Treasury Secretary
Mnuchin.
The
stimulus package they were talking about.
Right. So that's, you know, that's ramping up. Obviously, Treasury Secretary's, he's been an integral, he's kind of been a unique integral kind of part in brokering some of these deals. And it was actually kind of surprising that, he ended up taking that role. He took it on early on. It's just, he didn't really necessarily foresee him, kind of doing that. But, he's kind of been the go-between between Pelosi and the Democrats and then in the administration trying to get something done. And so he, they kind of just rose, they didn't want the bill to be a certain amount. And so now, he's kind of pushing for or at least or saying that they're open to, increasing the size
some
of that
negotiation
bill.
For a higher number.
Right. Yep. And so there'd be some, essentially, they're asking for money for at the state level, right? And so that's
to supplement budgets, state and local levels. My wife actually works for the city of Charleston and
right
in budgeting. So we know the shortfalls directly. And,
yeah,
it's tough all around from the bottom to the top.
Yeah, and a lot of that revenue is revenue you're never getting back. I mean, that's
right. The hotel tax, restaurant.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's one thing. It's one thing if we're looking at these backlogs, right? And we're making, you're making goods.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even certain services, obviously, you're gonna, whether it's surgery, those types of things, right? You're gonna put those off, but probably still get them. But a meal or taking a vacation where you had some hotel tax or you had some, we got a tax for everything, I think, here, beverage tax, all the different things that show up on your food bill, right, at the restaurant. None of that, if you miss one meal, right, that demand's not coming back.
Right.
It's not going to eat two dinners tomorrow night. we might, but it's probably not for an extended period of time. But, and then another big thing that came out was, the Trump administration unveiled, they've got an eviction moratorium that they're putting in. That's through the end of the year. It doesn't get you out of your rent.
You still have to pay it back at some point.
It does. Yeah, it states you have to pay it back. Obviously, I look at it as hard to get someone to pay it back if they're no longer staying there. So if your rent's over, they still owe 4 months of rent. I'm just not sure how easily that's going to be collectible.
Small claims court will be busy.
Yeah, but it looks like a good program. No, at $99,000 or less, if you received a stimulus check, right? It looks like it's not too stringent. I mean, it's under it says best efforts in quotation and. It reminds me of the old order, like best efforts order. So I guess.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah. But they're, so that'll help from an, at least gives people some certainty. I'm not sure how great that'll be for the, for the landlords going forward. I'm not sure you want to be evicting someone at this point right now. Anyway, I'm not sure who would fill the spot, so. Kind of very, very interesting in how all that is going to play through, to different pieces of the economy. So that's one thing, we're looking to add. Central bank, the Fed's, one of the Fed chairmen said, central bank
Brainerd.
Hasn't even gotten started yet, right?
Brainerd, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe he's right. Maybe it's all been rhetoric, right? So now we'll actually put some dollars where it needs to go. But, I think overall the Fed's, I don't know anything they could have done better along the way. I mean, they've seemed to be very accommodative. I think the playbook from 08-09, they opened that one up quickly and jumped right on it. I think is really what happened. But another thing, the Fed's gonna potentially is gonna own mortgages at some point. They're looking at expanding and purchasing some mortgage debt. That would help probably relieve some of the, mortgage defaults going forward, too. So if the Fed was the lender, right, then they could work, work with a homeowner versus, whether it's a bank or some mortgage processor.
Well, that goes back to, TARP 10 years ago, right?
Exactly. Yep. So we're we have to break out all those definitions again.
Yeah.
But, all right. Well, that's it for the second half of Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Bill Gunderson, Paul Carlson, Barry Kite, and the team here. We'll be back. Welcome back to quarter number three of the Wednesday morning edition of the Best Docs Now Radio Hour with Barry Kite and our very own bond guru, Paul Carlson.
Hello, everybody. Hey, Barry, I wanted to tell you that it's unbelievable, but the Australian expansion has finally come to an end due to COVID. It's almost three decades in the running, but... After 28 years, they're going to have a 7% decline in GDP. Wow. However, that's much better than the almost 33% decline we had in quarter two, and the UK at a 20% drop. So, but still, you know, we get a lot of people that will say, you know, why would I invest after, you know, a 12-year bull market? Well, the point is that these expansions can last a lot longer than you think they can. But that one finally came to an end. So just kind of one for
right.
the books.
Yep. That was a very interesting one. I know, you know, kind of over the years, it was one of those economies they always referenced, in terms of an example of globalization and, you know, even in school and things like that, because they're, you know, positioned, you know, English speaking country, right on the cusp of the Pacific Rim, and they've lots of resources, lots of mining. I mean, they've fed,
resource trade with Asia, yeah, right.
And, yep. So they were stuck way down there for a long time, but for the last 30 years, it's been the place to be. My guess is they'll make a quick recovery back to the other side.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting how quick that bounces back from a rubber band standpoint. But
right.
let's get back now. I know the markets are open, Paul. You want to give us just a quick update on the U.S. markets, and we'll jump into some individual stock news.
Yeah, so we have the S&P not quite as strong as earlier in the pre-market. It's up 14. That's 3,540. The Dow 30 is up 134 at 28,779. NASDAQ up 56 points at 11,995. Russell 2000 up 1670. That's actually come up quite a bit from earlier, 1578.5. Crude oil is basically unchanged at 42.79. Gold is, wow, dropping quite a bit now, down $15 an ounce to 1964. Silver down 77 cents at 27.88. And, at the 10-year, all-important 10-year, it's at 0.687%.
Yeah, did that bump up a little bit?
So we were 6.8, so it just ticked up a little bit more. Yep.
Okay, yep. I was trying to figure out why we're, you know, our metals were kind of going the other way. So mm-hmm. looks like, the TikTok deal, I know we talked about it initially, mm-hmm. you know, big hang up there is just the from an algorithm standpoint. Think of it as the Coca-Cola formula, right, or the Dr. Pepper formula, in terms of
that new Coke or old Coke. Do you remember
what's now known as Classic Coke because of New Coke. Yes, but it's yeah, and so, you know, when you're doing these deals, right, and if I want to purchase this company, right, you're going to want to know kind of what's under the hood, if you will. And so at the center of that and
due diligence.
The center of it and a big piece of, you know, what they do, you're buying the algorithm that essentially directs, you know, a user, you know, kind of almost around their site to a certain extent in terms of their, preferences and building, you know, information mm-hmm. about a user, which is why, you know, we've kind of TikTok's ran into some of the problems that they have, just as any social media company has, regardless of where you're domiciled. But so that's you know, so that's one. You know, if we didn't have enough sticking points, right, in this particular deal, right, the TikTok is now the algorithm is at the center of it. Do you get to know what the algorithm is? Do you, when you buy it or not? So we'll find out. And who knows? China may want that to be, you know, as a country, right? It could be essentially a version of a state secret, right? That we would that we would employ on, you know, Boeing or, you know, anything else from a defense system standpoint potentially. So that's that'll play out, and I would imagine most of those conversations will be over the head of most of us and our listeners, and from a computer programming standpoint. But we'll watch it in terms of the numbers. Let's see what else we got. You know, in terms of, we got the, some good news. Some best stocks now are in the news. Amazon looks like you know, the imitation is a sincerest form of flattery, right? So we've got Amazon looking at potentially doing a split in May. May split. I'm not sure. 10 for 1. I know. He's been asked. Bezos has been asked about that in the past, and really wasn't even interested in it. Or I guess saying, you know, the marketability, because we keep hitting it home, and it's been, you know, we've gotten a lot of questions on it, obviously. But, you know, when we're splitting the stock, whether we have, you know, 100 shares at $1 million or, you know, 1 million shares at $1 million, right? We still only have $1 million value, but the marketability, which was a big deal in the past, before electronic trading, kind of seems, you know, that it's kind of got a new leg of life. And so it's, you know, some simple financial engineering to actually make your stock price go up. So, in terms of, financial engineering, that's actually one of the easier ones to actually pull off too. So.
Well, it's interesting. Apple was mentioned in that article along with Tesla, because those are just split. But Apple has a market cap larger than I'm tying back to Australia, the whole economy of Australia.
Right?
So Apple's worth more than Australia. Just
wow.
FYI.
There we go. To trade your own private, Apple can trade it for their own private island of Australia. Yeah.
And,
yeah. And so we've had, you know, we had some really good. From a momentum stocks, a lot of your momentum stocks were, I mean, what, Zoom was off the charts yesterday, up over 41%. DocuSign, CrowdStrike up 14%, Chewy up 13%. So Shopify up 6%, Netflix up 5%. So we, you know, you can see a lot of these, you know, a lot of these momentum, a lot of these, you know, kind of COVID stocks, if you will, you know, had a big push yesterday, which was interesting because we had some, you know, good news along the kind of vaccine front, or, you know, in treatment front. So you kind of, we've kind of seen them go in, you know, those almost kind of go in different, you know, opposite directions. But, you know, yesterday it was a big move in the whole direction. Zoom is just one of those interesting plays where it's, you know, video conferencing, to me, there's really no other, you know, way to play, you know, pure play, right, to do video conferencing, because, you know, everybody has it, whether it's, you know, Google Hangout,
Microsoft
Teams, right? I think doesn't Cisco own now the old GoToMeeting? I mean, you know, so we're not buying Cisco just to get exposure to video conferencing.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, some of that value, and that's my analyst take from Zoom, is some of the value is, you know, certainly
a pure play
warranted, but I think a lot of it is, yeah, it's the only pure play out there. And so another stock close to your heart, Tesla. So they're what, taking advantage of, you know, taking advantage of where the markets are and issuing some more shares, getting some cheaper capital for them, you know, which is a big
great time to raise capital at that stock price. Sure.
Yeah, and for them, I mean, you know, they've run a very capital intensive business. Any way they can get capital cheaper, you know, they're going to It's going to help, in my opinion, going to help their ROI on a go-forward basis. So,
sure.
You know, if you remember the days of, you know, are they going to get funding? Are they going to, you know, or, you know, now they're actually just selling stock instead of doing the doing some debt deals. But so that's came that they've came along. You know, that's just another kind of example of where they're at. And they're raising, what was it, about $4 billion?
I think it was $5 billion.
Yeah, $5 billion. Yeah, so that's not a small chunk of change, and it's good to have, you know, it's not bad to have some cash or, you know, strengthen up your balance sheet in this environment. You know, and off of the heels of that, what, you know, China's EV sector just continues to, you know, to continue to build momentum and, you know, people putting a lot of money in smaller stocks there. But well, we'll get to our stock of the day here in the last segment, and it's one that we've been following for a while. See you soon. Welcome back to the last quarter of the Wednesday morning edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. I'm Barry Kite, planner analyst here, and we have Paul Carlson, our bond portfolio manager and in many other hat extraordinaire. we're sitting in for Bill today, giving him a day off here in the middle of the week. A day off from the radio show.
A well earned day.
If the markets are open, we're not off. So, but he's not
it's
on the airwaves.
So,
yeah,
that's right. It's a team effort. So
right.
Here
so
we are.
Are we still everything still on track market wise?
Yeah, I think so. Last I checked. I'm seeing a lot of big movers again. That Peloton.
Yeah,
got a big upgrade, and then we'll get to the featured stock that we own in a little bit. And
yeah.
There's some good big movers, yeah. And the S&P is up about a third of 1%. The Dow, yeah, it's up half of 1%, so not
okay.
Too bad.
Yeah, so looking like, but Dow's looking ahead of the Nasdaq, at least I guess at the moment.
NASDAQ, yeah, about 0.4% on the upside.
Yeah. Well, so. So the, you know, stock of the day we're going to feature is NVIDIA. That's NVDA.
DA. Yeah.
Yep. And they're you know, display maker. They're very big.
Gaming.
Right, gaming, which has been a huge thing. From a COVID standpoint, if you look at some of those GameStops, was it GameStop? It was a number that I saw. I guess it was in the first. It would have been.
That's a retail store, GME.
Yes, but it was. They had the amount of new gamers or the amount of gaming that was done. I guess during COVID, during the first full quarantine, I guess you would say. It was, you know, the numbers were ridiculous and off the charts, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it looks like Bank of America has set a street high target price of $6.50, whereas right now it's trading at $5.67.
Yeah, and that's that's a big move for them, especially since they've been behind the curve on a number of things as well. But yeah, so they're
analysts usually are on the street, right?
Yeah, yes, and they so they're having a gaming event, basically a presentation. They've got a couple of new cards or video cards that are getting good reviews.
Amprey GPU.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. And they, this year, what we've got, a new Xbox cycle. We've got a new PlayStation. Both of them.
Well, you've got the boys.
I do. Yeah, we actually got the. I think it was the newest Madden, which you can turn into apparently the you can play it on the new version whenever that actually comes out. But
nice.
Yeah, so they've gotten a lot of big play from that. PC sales, right? I mean, you've seen some of these, earlier this
week. The shortage in
the
PC market.
Yes,
right.
and so, PC sales are on a comeback, and so, that's going to be another input, right, for, another source for them to sell into. So they've got a lot of tailwinds, here. They're also, known as basically the best kind of best in their space, right? So
we should mention though, just to be full disclosure, we own Nvidia in both our dividend and growth portfolios.
We do.
So
yep.
It's done very well for us, and there's no guarantees going forward, but we do have a price target 5 years of 1070, and that's a 5-year potential return of 94%.
Yeah,
it's currently it's currently ranked 30 out of 5,332 stocks. And even as long ago as 9 months ago, we were ranking it as low as, high as 199 out of 5,332. So,
yeah. And it's, to me, it's one of those, it's one of these stocks that is going to, from a market capitalization, right, in a balance sheet standpoint,
which is $341 billion. That's the market cap.
So it's going to have, it's got some in terms of safety wise, right, from a balance sheet standpoint, right, it's got that built in. They have lots of contracts, and the way their business, we're huge on visible sustainable earnings, and they have in their space and what they do and how well they do it, they have a we only see that as getting stronger.
Their average growth rate has been 38%.
Yeah, and their forward PE is only is a 50, which mm-hmm. when you have a stock in this in this space. Intel's kind of, taking a step back, and they're trying to, AMD's kind of filled in there and gotten a lot of that market share. And
another one of ours. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And so, AMD and NVIDIA compete to a certain extent, not in every, aspect of a business, almost, like AMD does with Intel necessarily, but, that's just a, it's one of these stocks you see a lot of people, you never really think exactly what they do, right? But it's, essentially a video card, which, every one of us that are going to play any video on any screen, right, are going to have some version of that. So it's just another way, I think, to play, whether it's Zoom, playing.
Well, I think this highlights, the fact that we're active, managers, unconstrained. And so even in a pandemic, unfortunately, that we go through it. But at the same time, we can identify sectors that will benefit, like you said, Zoom and NVIDIA and so forth.
And for us, in talking to clients, and you can't hit on all of them, but, there's essentially a reason each name is in the portfolio, right? There's a story, whether it's, obviously it's hit some metrics and shown up on our radar, but, there's this usually an underlying story, that's kind of even beyond the numbers, right? Sometimes, and that's the piece of the catalyst that we're looking to kind of, push some of these valuations where we think they may end up. So
give us a call.
Yeah.
855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-2378, or go to GundersonCapital.com. Get our newsletter and check us out.
Yeah.
Have a good day, everybody.
We're here. Have a great one.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.